So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And let's talk about no-fault evictions, Section 21s. So there's this idea, and you look on Twitter, and you look on in The Guardian, no-fault evictions, how bad they are. You know, there's no security of tenancy for tenants. And I'm like, of course there is. Like, I can only talk about me because I'm a buy-to-let landlord. And I don't know what other landlords do, right? But if I have a nice tenant who's not a knobhead, right, who looks after the house, who pays the rent, causes no hassle. If they have repairs, of course we'll fix repairs. That's not a problem. Not ridiculous repairs like my light bulb doesn't work. Change the light bulb. Like, come on, you know. Like, if you get nice tenants, like, how long has tenants been in? 15 years. In fact, they haven't because we just sold that house. But they were in for 15 years. We don't get rid of tenants who are nice tenants, who pay on time, who are just nice. We don't want to do that. We want tenants to feel secure and have a family and know that the family's secure and put them into local schools and knowing that they're not going to be evicted and all that stuff, right? Then the government comes along and thinks, oh, let's put interest rates up. I know, let's increase Section 24. Now a lot of landlords are having to sell up. So those tenants are getting hit with Section 21s because they're not late on rent. They're not behind on rent. They're selling the property. So what do you do? Do you issue a Section 8, which takes longer and is down to the judge's discretion as to whether they're going to evict that tenant? Or do you just issue a Section 21? Now, you might say, well, the tenant, it's not the tenant's fault. And you're absolutely right. I agree. It's not the landlord's fault either that they're now out of pocket because of Section 24, which is being backdated all the way to a decision made back in 1996 when they bought the first house, i.e. me. It's ridiculous. That Section 24 taxation should have been brought in for any properties bought since then. Like, but no, they didn't do that. And in not doing that, they've rocked the marketplace, which then there's a knock-on effect, which means landlords are having to leave, which means a knock-on effect, which means there's an increase, a massive increase on the level of Section 21s that are being issued right now because landlords are leaving in their droves. 50,000 landlords have left the marketplace since 2019. Is that 12,500 a year? That's a significant amount of landlords. And that's landlords, not properties. Assuming that's just one property per landlord, which we know is not the case, two or three might be. You're talking 100 to 150,000, if you averaged it out, properties being taken off the market for tenants. And then we wonder why rents are being squeezed. But going back to Section 21s, the other reason why we use a Section 21 is that if we do get a tenant who's being a bit of a knob, antisocial behaviour, late payment on rent, no rent, often it's easier to issue a Section 21 than it is a Section 8 because of the discretionary powers that a Section 8 gives the judge, who might go, no, I'm not going to evict them. So that's why we use a Section 21. Now, obviously, the Section 21 is slowly, I don't know when that's going to happen, but it's been eradicated. And all that will happen is that we just move over to Section 8, you know. So it's not that. It's not a no-fault eviction. It's just an easier eviction than a Section 8. If we've got a tenant who's late on their rent constantly and it's driving us mad. And by the way, I can tell you after 25 years experience that when you have a tenant that pays rent a few days late one month and a week later the next month and a few days late the following month, and that, right, is a signpost that tenant is going to default on their rent. Usually, I'd say 75%, certainly more than 50% of the time, if you've got a tenant that's struggling to pay their rent on time, that is a really big red flag that they're probably not going to pay their rent at all at some point in the next 6 months. We know this, right? This is what we call experience. And so we issue a Section 21. And we obviously talk to them first. You need to pay your rent. What's going on? Can we help? Is it a temporary thing? You've lost your job. Okay. Are you getting another job? What's going on? And so on and so forth, right? Like, we don't want to evict tenants, especially tenants who've been with us for a long, long time. We've built a trust and built a relationship up with. We want to actually help these people. But we can only do so much. We can only go so far. Our primary concern is the cash flow to pay our mortgages, right? And to pay service charges and taxation and all the things that a buy-to-let landlord has to actually pay. We don't want to be out of pocket and having to find the money from elsewhere in order to pay that stuff. Because if we do, it's rocking this house of cards that all these other tenants are relying on us to provide them with good quality homes. If we got three or four tenants not paying, we can't do that. We can't carry out the repairs because where's the funds going to come from? So we have to manage that because we're responsible for our other tenants as well as just the tenant that isn't able to pay. So we issue a Section 21. It's not that it's not a no-fault eviction. It's that there is a problem and we use a Section 21 because that's the easiest method of evicting a tenant that we feel is going to be a problem. And we don't want that because it can have this knock-on effect to all our other tenants. And our job is, you know, as a responsible landlord, is to look after all our tenants. That's it. That's the bottom line.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.